Please open your Bibles with me in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I don't have any hypoluting title of this passage, but I would like to entitle this message, The Glory of Christ. The Glory of Christ. Whenever we are confronted with the glory of God, it will always humble us. It will always bring us to humility and worship. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it is plainly given to us the message that the Christ that we worship is the glorious God. He is our glorious God. And as you turn your Bibles to that passage, let me give you a brief introduction of this book. The writer of this book, the letter to the Hebrews, did not identify himself as someone like Paul. Every time na nakikita po natin ang liham po ni Pablo, there always a name. He mentioned Paul and then he gave his greeting. Tradition acknowledged that it was one of Paul's letter until 17th century. It was disputed until that time because of the language and the style were uncharacteristic of Paul. So sabi nila, dati-rate, during the time of Martin Luther or even sa mga reformists, they acknowledge that this letter was of Paul. But during the time of, in 17th century, they shifted that it is not from Paul because of the different languages mentioned and the style also is uncharacteristic of Paul. But if you read the book of Hebrews, you will find that the author was well-versed in the Old Testament. Alam na alam po niya ang Old Testament. Also, he was familiar with the apostolic ministry because in chapter 13, verse 23, he saw himself how the gospel was spread through the apostolic ministry. So, nakita po niya. And might be some scholars conclude that the author of this book was one of the fruits of this ministry. Also, because of the use of us, we, because of these pronouns, it was suggested that the author was one of the persecuted brethren. And because of this, some suggested authors were Silas, the accomplice of Paul, or even Apollos. In my personal conviction, it is just me. I believe that it was written maybe by Apollos because in the book, the name Timothy was mentioned and Timothy was mentioned upon his release from imprisonment and Apollos spent so much time at Ephesus. And Ephesus, we know, is the pastoral church of Timothy. So that's just me. That's my kumbaga hula lamang. That Apollos wrote this book. Some people tend to go with Luke, or some people also with Barnabas. But basically, the author was not identified. See, the audience or the people whom the author gave this letter is the persecuted Jewish Christians. This book was written to encourage the Jewish Christians to persevere in the faith. And remember, at this point in time, Jewish Christians were facing persecutions in two different fronts. Okay? Put yourself in the shoe of those people at that time. The book was written to the Jewish Christians. At yung mga Jewish Christians na ito, dalawa po ang pinanggagalingan ng pag-uusig na nararanasan po nila. First, they were persecuted by the ruling governing authorities at that time, the Romans. They were persecuted because their belief in Christ confronted the pagan religion of the Romans. We all know that one of the edict or one of the commands of the Roman Caesars is to worship them as divine. Diba? Sabi po ng mga imperador at that time, sambahin niyo ako dahil Diyos ako. Okay? That belief confronted the belief of the Christians at that time. Thus, dahil sila po yung nasa pamahalaan, sila po yung nagahari at that time, persecution inevitably came. These Christians considered as, quote, idol worshippers, for they rejected the worship of men, especially the Caesar worship. Please hang on with this because I would like to connect the glory of Christ in their context. Second, they were suffering in the hands of their people. Remember, these are Jewish Christians. They were suffering not only from their own people, but most especially the Jewish leaders and their religion. At that time, when you are converted to Christianity, you will be considered as a traitor. Lalo pag ikaw ay Hudyo. Di ba? Pag ikaw ay isang Hudyo, nabubuhay ka, 6-year-old ka pa lang, natuto ka na sa batas ng Panginoon bilang paraan para mapalapit sa Diyos, and then biglang hindi, sa grasya ng Panginoon. At talikod ka ngayon doon sa sistema na yon, then the Jewish people, even the leaders, most especially the leaders, will consider you as traitor. Because you have go against the system at that time, and you embrace a kind of sect, the Jesus sect or the Way Church. So they have considered you as a traitor. And so the consequence of that action consists of not only being threatened with expulsion from the synagogue. Alam niyo po, pag ikaw ay isang Hudyo, pag hindi ka na pinalapit sa synagogue that time, medyo discriminatory yun at medyo mabigat yun. Because inaalis ka na sa community. Inaalis ka na sa pagiging pamilya. At sa isang mentalidad ng isang Hudyo, mabigat po yun, mga kapatid. It's like excommunication. And so, hindi lang po yun. It is not only expulsion from the synagogue and abandonment as part of a Jewish community. Your Jewishness was removed from you. Worse, you will be threatened to be killed. That's why we know that the book of Acts were filled with persecution against Paul, against Barnabas. Most notable was the martyrdom of Stephen by their own people. So, because of these persecutions, many Jewish Christians were discouraged. Saan kami lulugar? Kung kami pupunta sa isang lugar, malaman nila Kristiyano kami, yung mismong Roman government, pipersecute kami. Saan kami tatakbo? Patatakbo kami doon sa sarili naming mga kababayan. E alam nilang Kristiyano kami, sa ang tingin nila mga traitor kami, saan kami lulugar? So yun, ganun ang tingin ho, ganun ang nangyayari dito sa book na ito, sa libro na ito. They were persecuted. And because of this, many Jewish Christians were discouraged, and the thought of going back to the old pattern of life in Judaism. Ang hirap na mamamuhay dito, balik na lang kami. So ganun po ngayon kung bakit sinulatan ang mga Jewish Christians na ito. That's why in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, just take a look at it, chapter 2 verse 1, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have already heard so that we do not drift away from it. I wrote this so that you will not drift from what you have heard already. Hindi ka na babalik. So yun ang purpose po kung bakit sinulat po ito pong libro po na ito. The writer urge these Christians not to depart from the faith. Not to depart from the faith. And that's why you will notice, brethren, that in every statement of truth about Christ in this book, there's always a word of encouragement and admonition. Because of that purpose, na huwag kayong bumalik, every time the writer gave us a statement of truth, it will follow with words of encouragement and comfort. Truth, comfort. Truth, comfort. Truth, comfort. Kasi gusto ho nung nagsulat na huwag kayong bumalik. Hang on. Persevere. Kahit gaano katindi ang pinagdadaanan po natin, persevere. this is the truth about God, about Christ, then ganito ang response mo. Every time po, ganun po ang pattern na binibigay po ng aklat po na ito. Amen? And just a side note, brethren, some biblical commentators will say that the book of Hebrews is not a letter, although it was, kumbaga, concluded as a letter, but actually, because of that pattern, truth and then application, parang ang consideration po nila dito, it is a series of sermon. It is a series of sermon. And the author numerously used the word say or speak rather than write. So, mas marami po, mas minapanigan na ang aklat po na ito ay hindi liham. Pero ito po ay isa pong preaching or sermon. Okay? Still with me? And so, after this Sunday, God willing, Pastor Enz will still preach two Sundays. At I'm not sure kung ako po ang susunod. But kung ako po ang susunod, we will tackle the book of Hebrews. So today, we will just give an introduction and I will present to you Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 3. Okay? So, because every time our 8 o'clock service gave us 1 month of preaching assignment, I will also follow the pattern of the book of Hebrews. Brethren, look at me. The main theme of the book of Hebrews is this: Christ is better. That's the main message. Kalimutan mo na lahat. Huwag lang yung tatlo. Christ is superior. Christ is better. And for the following 4 Sundays of my slot, I will also use the pattern used by Hebrews. First, Christ is better than angels. Christ is better than Moses. Christ is better than Aaron. And Christ is better than the covenant. So the book of Hebrews is divided with that 4, at least, kumbaga, division. Christ is better. Christ is superior. From what? Angels, Aaron, Moses, and the covenant. At yan po ang titingnan po natin. Abangan po ninyo ang susunod na kabanata. Yan po. But today, we will tackle Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Okay po? Okay po. Yan. So, let us read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Tuloy na ho natin hanggang verse 4. Having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Brethren, this section of the book serves us as the introduction of the whole series of teachings. Kumbaga, introduction po ito. It unleashes why we should prefer Christ and why we must not abandon the once and for all faith given to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 defines to us why we need to stay in the faith. Bakit kailangan po nating manatili sa pananampalataya? And here, brethren, the author links us the Old Testament promise to the New Testament fulfillment in Christ. Listen to this, brethren. God has made sure and God has made clear that the whole program of revelation, His unfolding of Himself, His revelation, and His redemption, His saving act, is ultimately fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And so, if you read your Bible, beginning from Genesis up to the consummation of Revelation, the central idea of redemptive history centers on Christ and His work on the cross. And so, brethren, if there is one thing that will come out of this passage, it is this. I would like to please pay attention to every phrase, every sentence of this message. If one thing that will come out of this passage, this introductory passage, is this. God presented to humanity and to all creation that glory resides in Jesus Christ. This is one thing that I would like you to remember from all eternity. Jesus is the very glory of God. Jesus is the very glory of God. Ano ngayon yan? Brethren, that truth, Jesus, the very glory of God, that truth should always grip our mind. That truth must penetrate our hearts. That truth should motivate our life if you profess to be followers of Christ. So that as followers of Christ, we must always be pleasing in His sight as we remember that truth, Jesus is the very glory of God. Brethren, we don't care how much the world will talk about us. We don't care what the world will say. Wow, Guiding Light, orderly. Grabe yung organizational, ano na yan. Ang ganda ng pagtuturo. I don't care what the world will talk about us. But I hope and pray that this one thing that you will be concerned about, what we are after, is on how we talk much about Christ. And we will do that today. Amen? And so, brethren, God has presented the glory of Christ in this book in two ways. Okay? God presented the glory of Christ in this book in two ways. First, God spoke to us, God has spoken to us in His Son. And then God shown His glory in Christ by what? By giving us Christ as the being of God, by being the upholder of all things, and being our Redeemer. And basically, that's our outline. God presented Christ as the glorious Christ. First, He's spoken to us through Him. And second, He has shown His glory by showing to us the very nature of God, showing to us by giving us the power of God, and giving us the grace of God in redemption. So God presented to us in that way in through this passage. But before we dig into this passage, let us take note, brethren, that it is God who did these actions. He was never assisted nor given advice by men to initiate such actions. Remember, brethren, 8 times the name of God was mentioned, and it's all related pronouns here. The name of Christ was listed 4 times in these 3 passages. 8 times the name of God, the He and the Him, and then Christ, the He and the Him. And basically, the message there is that God is the sole worker of this. He was never assisted nor given advice by men. He did not need to be aware of the latest marketing and sales trend for Him to endorse His Son. His plan is always monergistic. When we say monergistic, it is not synergistic. When we say monergistic, si Lord lang, wala nang iba. Si Lord lang. Brethren, God acts independently of any human will. The Bible said He does whatever pleases Him. He did not need to be endorsed by big names in the town to be accepted. God, as described in Acts 17, is not served by human hands as though He needed something. On the contrary, brethren, in Christ, in God, in Jesus, we live and move and exist as human beings, Acts 17. And you might ask, bakit mahalaga yan? Paingay, akin. This is important because when things move not according to our own wisdom. We live in God's hand. There are things that we cannot comprehend. Amen po ba? But because God is God, hindi mo na maintindihan, kaibigan, we live by faith, not by sight. Amen? And so let us now take a look at the passage. Haba po na introduction, pasensya na po kayo. But kailangan po nating malaman po lahat po na ito. So God presented Christ, and He presented Him as the glorious Son of God. In verse 1 and 2, God presented Jesus Christ as the glorious God when He said that God spoken to us in Christ. Verse 1 and 2, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. So listen to this, brethren. God spoke to us in finality through our Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures is complete when God told us about the glory of Christ. Nung pinahayag ng Panginoon kung sino si Jesus at lahat ng kwento at lahat ng paraan kung paano na ipalaganap ang kalwalhatian ni Kristo, tapos na ang salita ng Panginoon. The Bible is complete. That means, brethren, that the Old Testament was never complete until the fulfillment of Christ's work as the anointed Messiah. You see, everything that happened and mentioned in the Old Testament was a preparation of the coming Messiah and His work of redeeming men. Okay? Did you get that, brethren? All the events, all the information that we can find in the Old Testament are preparations for the coming Messiah and His fulfillment of redemption. And so, given also that the audience here are Jewish Christians, no, itong mga Hudyo na ito, that idea is a very sensitive issue. Okay? Even until now, ang mga Hudyo, hindi sila naniniwala kay Kristo. They will not recognize the New Testament as part of God's Word. And so, sa aklat po na ito, sensitibong bagay po yan. It is a very delicate matter. And so the author of Hebrews, the author was very careful in choosing his words here because he knew the reality of the persecution of the Jewish Christians at that time. No, talagang piling-pili yung kanya pong pagsasalita. And in this, mga kapatid, he wanted to make sure that the Jewish audience will get the central point, the main argument of this book. The Old Testament was incomplete because Christ fulfilled it. And that phrase, makikita ho natin po dyan, sabi nga po, in this time, in these last days, God spoke to us in His Son. First of all, brethren, I would like you to take note that the writer recognized that the Old Testament was the Lord's words. Amen? We do not, kumbaga, hindi po natin iniiwan ang Old Testament bilang hindi salita ng Diyos. Actually, the author recognized that the Old Testament was part of God's Word. It is part of God's Word. It is the holy words of the holy covenant-keeping God. It was given long ago to the fathers. But this is one thing that I would like to share. I would like to relate to you. But Israel's history, the Lord has used men to relay His will to the people of Israel. God spoke long ago to the fathers. God sent prophets both to warn the people of their wickedness and to bless those who put their trust and allegiance to Him. But the climax, the pinnacle, the height of God's revealing Himself is done through Christ. Yes, God spoke long ago to the fathers, the Old Testament, but here, the fulfillment, the final messenger, the final servant is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look, balikan po natin ang chapter 1, verse 1. Sabi po doon, God spoke to us in His Son. He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. So how did He speak to the Old Testament Jewish people? In chapter 1, verse 1, He said, in many portions and in many ways. See, brethren, we can have here a variety of ways how God communicates His word to His people during the olden times. Take note of that phrase, many portion. God spoke in many portions. Ano ibig sabihin ng in many portions? You see, brethren, it came from a Greek word that means various in time and agency. Basically, brethren, God spoke His word according to the time and history of the people of Israel. There is a context of words spoken and written. You cannot just get a passage in the Old Testament and use it as if separate from its context, because God spoke long ago to our fathers in many portions. That means God spoke in that point in time of history. God's word has a context. The vehicle here also, brethren, is that it is various. God used different vehicles to convey His message. He used human instrument, the prophets, to warn the people. He used also the priests. Sometimes He used the angels. Can also use a donkey, His creation. But the main vehicle was people who knew and felt the circumstances of that time. And you might ask, listen to this, will this mean that the word of God was drawn out of experience? Was outside human circumstance dictate what includes the word of God? Hindi po. The word of God was already given to us even beyond or even at that point in every human circumstance. The word of God was given to conform men according to the will of God as they live and exist in their own history and context. What's the point here, brethren? There was a comment in our K-Lord group chat. I'm not sure if some of the K-Lord members here noticed that thread. I appreciate the person who posted that conversation, that observation. Actually, I commended his effort to minister to our brethren by posting that comment. The post was that the mention in the Bible, the role and the place of Iraq, Mesopotamia. And this is just a comment that I made to that post. Yes, it was mentioned in many times in the biblical account that place Iraq. But brethren, the glaring lesson, the obvious lesson there behind the numerous mention of that biblical place like Iraq is the reality that God has dealt with real people. God has dealt with real people in real places. The Bible is full of verified historical events. He has not spoken His word outside of us, quote unquote. Why? Because biblical locations are true. Because the author of the word is the same as the creator of the world. Did you get that? Biblical locations, the Bible is true. The Bible is verifiable. It is verified. Because the author of the word is the same as the creator of the world. Unlike some cultic books that they have created societies and communities out of the figment of their imagination. Their book consists of so much so event, but when it was verified, wala naman. But the Bible consists of many locations that until today you can find. Because the Bible is true, because God is true. That's why here in Hebrews, the Lord or the author confirmed that the Old Testament is God's word. It is true. God spoke long ago to the fathers of the Old Testament, to the Jewish people, in many portions. That means in history. And bottom line, brethren, our history is His story. Amen? Still with me? Not only that, brethren, God spoke also in variety of time and instrument. He also given His word in many ways. This time, I would like to take note of this because sometimes when we are studying God's word, we just get the passage and apply it as if hindi natin tinitignan kung ano ang konteksto po nito. Sabi po doon, sa ating pong passage, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in many portions and in many ways. What does that mean, in many ways? That word means various in form. If we say in many portions, that means in many portions in history. Sa bawat henerasyon, nangungusap ang Panginoon, di po ba? During the time of Adam, during the time of Moses, during the time of the judges and the prophets, no, God ministered to the people in history. But also, God conveyed His message in different forms, iba-ibang paraan, iba-iba pong pamamaraan ng pagbibigay, pagkukommunicate ng mensahe ng Panginoon. Di po ba? So God spoke His truth in many literary devices or means. Sometimes God will use poetry. Tama ba? That's why the Old Testament consists of what? There are narratives, kwento. There are also what? Literature, like the Proverbs, like Psalms. Okay? And every time you study the Word of God, you have to take note of those vehicles because sometimes yung mismong form, yung mismong device gives us or emphasize the message. If you are studying Psalm 113, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, you will not study it as if sorrowful. You will not study it as one who has been lamenting over your suffering. You are studying it with a shout of joy because the device itself gives us the emphasis. It is a joyful praise to the Lord. Still with me? Mukhang mga nag-aaral sa TEA, mas nakaka-identify dito. Why? Because God spoke in history in many different portions. That's why when you study the Word of God, take note of those vehicles. Parang ganito rin po. Nung niligawan ko po si Sister Maro, hindi lang ho text. May mga times, I did it in poems. Yeah! Di ba? She's listening, so Maro, when she read my poem, sabi nga niya sa akin, Pangga, sayang, tagal-tagal mo nang mag-compose ng kanta. Sana mag-compose ka naman. Diba? Yung mga babae, kapag nakabasa ng text, na-engage, no? Pero pag poem or songs, mas lalong... Ganun din. When God conveyed His love towards people through history, there's message there. And also, when He gave us the message of His love through poems, there's also a kind of emphasis there. So you have to also understand when you are good, diligent study of God's Word, you need also to understand the vehicle, at least sufficiently understand. Di naman ho, tipong 100% alam mo na. But ang point ko lang dyan, kung talagang seryoso kang mag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos, you have also to appreciate different forms how God sent His message to us. Amen. Amen? That's why, to understand and interpret the truth of God, you need to know at least elements of how it was relayed. We have to understand the words, the mood, the tone of the voice. When God said, "The voice of God has been declared to you, O foolish ones." The mood there is not so much the voice of God has been given to us in the voice of judgment. Hallelujah! No, God is emphatic in terms of giving His judgment over the sinful people, against sinful people. So we have to appreciate, oh, seryoso ang Panginoon dito, hindi siya naglalaro sa kasalanan. That's the message. That's the interpretation there. Even the mood itself, you can already get the hint of how God relayed His message to His people. And so, God has spoken His word with text and context. God has given His message with text and context. It is not our own words and assumptions or what we call pretext that we put into the Word of God. Let the Word of God unleash. Let the Word of God be exposed. And this is crucial to know, brethren, because many false religions and cults have their beginnings with the pretext approach of the Bible. And here in our passage, same treatment. Some of the cults approach this passage, getting some portions, separating it with their context, getting the text from the context. But God gave us the text with a context. And so in order for us to understand the passage, we need to understand the whole context, the whole passage. And later, maybe, mga kapatid, medyo mahirapan po tayo, even po doon sa verse 3. One of the most difficult passage, I believe, in the Bible. Because sometimes, yung ating analogy ay pang-tao lang. We cannot compare the very glory of God in human terms. That's why in the Bible, even in the Revelation, John will always say, it is like this, it is like this, because God cannot be compared. So be careful with analogy as if we are putting God on our own level, on our own interpretation. Yan ang problema ng mga kulto. That's why us as Christians, we study the Word of God in its totality, in its context. And later on, we will deal with this. Payat na nga po ako, papayat pa ako lalo nito. Amen? And so, brethren, okay, that was Old Testament. And here, in verse 1, again, how did God reveal the glory of God or the glory of Christ in our time? See, God revealed His glory in Christ as the final messenger of His word. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. In these last days, God, it is the main sentence, He's spoken to us. Where? To whom? In Christ. God spoken to us in Christ. That phrase, in these last days, it means the first and the second coming. Basically, the history of mankind until that point of consummation in Revelations. Brethren, that time frame can tell us that God's truth can only be found and can only be verified according to what He has already revealed in Christ. Listen to this. No further truth can be revealed apart from Christ. One time in our Bible study sa San Carlos, sa Pangasinan, mayroon pong nagtanong sa akin, Pastor, yes, I believe that Christ is our Savior. Mayroon pa bang darating na tagapagligtas? Tanong, because of this, in these last days, first and second coming, wa na ka, kaibigan. Wala na. Truth can only be found in Christ. If there's another gospel different from the one you have already heard from us, sabi po ni Paul, let that person be condemned. Because there's only one truth that man can ever go to God. It is the way of Christ. And so, you might ask again, how about revelations and dreams we often hear about? What about my previous experiences and encounters with Jesus? May mga napanaginipan ako. May mga nagpakita sa Panginoon. Well, I will say with this, we validate those experiences and things, those things, according to what was given to us already in God's Word. Because precisely, God spoke to us in His Son, in Christ. He spoke to us through His story of His life, how that story spread in the book of Acts, how that life of Christ should be outworked in the context of the church, the letters, and how that life of Christ will ultimately be ended in the consummation, in the revelation. And so the book, the Bible, should be our validator. If that experience, if that dream is true or not. Eh, paano, Pastor, pagka, di ba? What if this encounter with Jesus has always been happening to me? In that, every time I dream about this, every time I see vision, it gives me a sense of spiritual strength and fulfillment. Here, the problem. Here comes the problem. Because the Bible tells us that the Bible is God's word sufficient for what? Sufficient to prepare every man and woman of God for holiness and growth. I would like to ask you, why would you prefer a subjective experience when we already have His very word. So, why do we need to point the truth of God in Christ? Bakit na kay Jesus? The passage tells us we can only find the truth of about God because Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. Verse 2. Again, look at your Bible. And in these days, He has spoken to us whom He appointed heir of all things. It was referred to Christ that the truth of God, the knowledge about God, will only be found in Christ. You see, if you look at all translations, it was confirmed that Christ is, quote, the appointed heir of all things. And I would like to listen carefully. I would like you to listen carefully. When we say heir, tagapagmana, it means the inheritor of all God's riches. No eternal good and no divine blessings will ever come apart from Christ, His appointed heir. Okay? That is consistent with the New Testament message. There's only one way. There's only one heaven in Christ. There's only one life in Christ. Because, brethren, no eternal good and no divine blessing will ever come apart from Christ, His appointed heir. Therefore, wisdom and truth should be drawn from Christ and His teachings. Any other teaching apart from Christ or against Christ is not the teaching of God. Amen? Also, brethren, all the benefits of sanctification will ever spring from the true understanding of who Christ is and His works. Because He is the appointed heir, He is the inheritor of all God's riches. All the benefits of being conformed to Christ will only come from a true understanding of who Christ is and His works. That's why we shun away with what we call pragmatic approach to ministry. We shun away with relativism. We boldly proclaim that there's only one way, kahit ma-offend yung tao na yan. Because that is the truth in Christ. And many people, ayaw nilang pakinggan yun. Talaga ba? Ay, paano? Gumagawa naman ako mabuti, di ba? Okay naman ako, religious naman ako eh. Nung bata po ako, super religious ko, to the point na pag may nakita akong isang bagay, kakabit ko na agad yan. Because I thought that relic will, you know, bring me more closer to God. But that's a lie. Why? Because all blessings of sanctification will only come from a true understanding of who Christ is. You want to be ever nearer to God? Go to Christ first. Go to Christ first. And we only say that with all humility because apart from God's grace, sabi nga po ng Isaiah, all we like sheep who have gone astray, we go to each our own way. Proverbs will tell us that the way of man to himself, from himself, is death, destruction at the end. We cannot trust our heart. The heart is deceitful. So who else can give us eternal spring, divine blessing? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the Son. Amen? And so this is the point. When we say Christ is the appointed heir, it means that Christ, listen, Christ is the spring and fountain of all joy and divine blessing. Christ is the only one who can suffice us, who can give us all joy and divine blessing. And more than that, heir does not only refer to Christ as the full benefactor of all good things and divine things. When we say heir, Christ as the appointed heir speaks of His honor and prominence in the sight of God. Christ speaks about the sovereignty, the power, the divinity of God. That's why, brethren, we draw our attention to Christ because He speaks forth in behalf of God. We come to Christ because He is the living Word of God. On the contrary, the one who rejects Christ, he rejects God and all the spiritual blessings associated with heaven. Sabi po, no? Oh, please, don't just listen to this as if, oh, alam ko na yan. Remember your neighbor. Remember your classmate, your friend who is not yet in Christ. Do you think he is a rich person if that person does not have any relationship with Christ? No. That person is living out a preparation of hell for hell. Amen? Remember those people na wala kay Kristo. Dahil si Kristo, nasa kanya lahat, ang lahat ng pagpapalang spiritual. E di yung taong yan, gaano man siya kabait, gaano man siya kayaman, gaano man siya kapopular, kung wala siya sa kay Kristo, isa siya sa pinaka-kawawang tao sa mundo. On the other side of the coin, remember yourself. Remind yourself of this manifold grace of God. Remember how God snatched you out from the state of damnation into the marvelous kingdom of light. Remember. So wala kang pera? Of course, you need to look for a job. But as believers, take comfort. That's why, yan ang inuuna ho nung author ho ng Hebrews. Sorry na, social distancing. Kaya yan ang inuuna niya eh, because he wanted them to be reminded that in the midst of persecution, do not drift from the faith. Because we have both the possessor and the purpose of divine blessings. We have Christ. Meron tayong kahit kanta na palagi natin kina, all I have is Christ. All I have is Christ, brethren. All you have is Christ. And so the one who rejects Christ, he rejects God and all the spiritual blessings associated with him. And this is the judgment a person will ever regret. Rejecting Christ. That is a judgment that a person will ever regret for the whole eternity, for the rest of his life. It is not just the hell, but the rejection of the source of all blessings and grace. That's the ultimate regret of people, of those sinners. They will regret, oh, sana pinaniwalaan ko si Kristo. Because He is the source of all blessings and grace. No excuse, brethren, no excuse. Look at John chapter 3. I remember John chapter 3. Hindi po natin matatapos po ngayong umaga, but hopefully po we can continue this next time. Kung di pa darating ang Panginoon for the next two weeks. Look at John chapter 3. What happened here? Nicodemus came and Jesus taught him about spiritual things. John chapter 3 verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. No excuses. God made clear that there's one way and that way is so obvious. Verse 14, and like Moses, analogy again, as Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the serpent, the one who can only heal. Nagkaroon po kasi ng snake bite. At that time, maraming namatay. Sabi ho ng Panginoon, de, kuha ka ng mukha ng isang ahas, itaas mo, habang titingnan nila, napapagaling sila. That is analogy of obvious na ang pagtaas, pagangat ng Panginoon. Pagkapakita sa buong mundo na si Jesus ang tanging daan. Sabi niya, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. And then we have this favorite passage, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But in verse 17, brethren, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Exclusivity of Christ, redemption. And in verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light, Christ, has already come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. They rejected the light. So brethren, if you are a Christian, a true believer of Christ, what God has done to you was to open to you all spiritual, heavenly, divine blessings in Christ. I would like you to persevere with this message. And so knowing this truth, brethren, whatever happens to us here on this earth, we are settled. Amen? Whatever happens to us, we are secure if you are in Christ. Whatever happens to us, we are perfectly fine. Listen to this. Vaccines are common grace. Okay? Vaccines are not the answer. They are common grace. Why? Because we have the perfect, direct, personal, effectual, specific grace settling our hearts in Christ. Amen. And so instead of praying, Lord, use vaccine to heal us. No, Lord, settle us in Christ. Whatever happens to me, yes, I will protect myself. Whatever happens to me, it's okay because I am settled in Christ. I am forever grateful in Christ. Amen? He is the appointed heir. He is both the possessor. He is the possessor of all things. And also in verse 2, go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. God, again, the main phrase here is God spoke to us in these days in his Son. How or why? Because he is the appointed heir of all things, through whom also, second part, he made the world, through whom also he made the world. He is the agent why God made all things. God has spoken to us in his Son. He is the appointed heir, and through whom also he made the world. You see, he observed that word, through whom. Through whom. Why would the writer of Hebrews add that word, through? He can just say it like the previous statement, God spoke to us in his Son, whom he is appointed the heir of all things, whom he made all things. Pwede namang ganun na lang eh. Why did the writer inserted that word by or through? Because the word through gives the idea of both the reason and the means of the action. It can mean that God created all things in Christ and for Christ. And this is true because in Colossians 1 verse 16, all things were made in him, in Christ. But listen to this. But the statement here also means that in the program of God, he created all things, as in he ordained all things. Every event in human history will have its culmination in Christ. That is the meaning of that word, through whom. All the events, lahat ng mga bagay na masama, lahat ng mga bagay na mabuti, lahat yan, magkukulminate yan sa glory ng Panginoon. That's the meaning of that word, through whom all things were made. Yes, he is the possessor of all divine blessing, and he is also the sole purpose why everything exists. Sabi po, no? So, ano yung samabay kung ikaw? Feeling mo parang, nakatira lang ako sa ganitong baryo, Christian ako. Kapatid, may purpose ang Panginoon dyan, at ang purpose ipakita kung sino si Jesus sa buhay mo. All things were created and ordained to ultimately point to Christ. And we all know the familiar passage, Romans 8:28, amen? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. That God caused all things, bad and good things, to work together for his glory and for your good. God predetermine everything on the account that the glory of Christ will be revealed and be exalted. Listen to this. Christ is the reason why the world was created. Contrary to the humanistic philosophy today, to the agnostic idea of today that the man is the center of the universe. Christ, God. So kung ikaw ay Kristiyano, everything that you do centers on who Christ is, His work, His principles, His will, His desires, His command. That is the essence of being a Christian. You are in Christ. God and His glory is the reason why we are here on this earth. And so how do we respond to this? Lately po, I was watching a seminar or a conference, and one well-known pastor, John MacArthur, said that history is linear. History is linear. And by this, he means that the reason it is linear is because God created it and God will finish it. God created it and God will finish it. One ultimate author of history. There's one ultimate author of history. In between are circumstances that reveal His character and glory, especially at that fullness of time when history revealed the Messiah and the cross, Galatians 4, verse 4. And so again, as Christians, we are in this part of history where our ultimate goal is to speak much of our church. Amen? Praise God, walang nag-amen. Nakikinig po kayo. We are in this part of history that our ultimate goal is to reveal Christ. We live and through Christ. Our character should be that of Christ. Again, whatever circumstance, nasa pandemic po tayo, our response must always reveal who our Lord is. Not yung pong nagpapanik na. O na, oh, dami-dami nang nagkakaroon ng infection. Nakaglorify ba ang Panginoon pag ganyan ang response natin? Our response must always reveal our security in Christ. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, sabi niya, by this we know that we are in Him. The one who says that he remains in Christ ought to say, let us all say this, walk just as Christ walked. Pakita natin kung sino ang Panginoon na pinagsilben po natin. And so God exalted Christ because Christ is the sum of all divine truth. Why Him? Because He's the appointed possessor of all divine things and He's the sole point, purpose of all created things. I'd like to repeat that. Why we need to go to Christ, the sum of all divine truth? Because Christ is the appointed possessor of all divine things. And in Christ also, He's the sole point, purpose of all created things. He is both the possessor and the purpose. And we'd like to end with this. Sa madaling sabi mga kapatid, dami-dami po natin narinig, Christ must be your most treasured possession now and forever. This will encourage the persecuted Christians not to go back to the old life, which is actually the purpose why this letter was given, di po ba? Inuna ho talaga, nung nagsulat nito, o nagturo, para hindi sila bumalik sa dating buhay, ano ang mayroon na sila ngayon? Anong mayroon na tayo ngayon? Bakit pa tayo babalik? Bakit pa tayo maglalaro sa kasalanan? Bakit pa tayo mangangamba? Bakit pa tayo aayon sa daloy ng mga bagay na nakikita at naririnig natin? We have Christ. We have Christ. Open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. I hope and pray, brethren, that we do not throw away our confidence. We do not throw away our trust. Because our confidence is in Christ, which has a great reward. Brethren, this is a reminder, and the whole purpose of Christian living is about Christ. Amen? So God revealed His truth. God speaks to us, or God has spoken to us in Christ. We will continue with this introductory note po. Pagbibigay na po ng Panginoon ang pagkakataon magturo po dito. Okay? We will look at the second part of how God presented the glory of Christ. First, He presented Christ as the final messenger. And second, He presented Christ as the glorious Son of God through what? His being, being upholder, and being our Redeemer. Titingnan po natin yan next time. Let us all stand. One time, sabi po ni Charles Spurgeon, that every time we come to know theology, we have to end this up with doxology, worship. This must not settle in our minds. This must immediately apply in terms of acknowledging, Lord, thank you. Thank you for our salvation. I would like to sing with all our hearts the last song po na kinanta po natin. Let us give the Lord all blessings, all praises, all glory that He deserved. Because He is the sum of all divine blessings. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Lord God, for your truth. Thank you for reminding us about our treasure in Christ. You are our treasure. And that settles everything, Lord. Whatever happens to us today, even in death, in life, things present, things to come, no one and nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Thousands of thousands worship at your throne, lifting our praise to the God of all grace. Your blood has redeemed us, you called us your own. To the Lord.
Father, we thank you that you are our everything, that you have ordained everything, Lord God, so that we might see the glory of the Son, the possessor of all things, and the point or purpose of all things. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us about your glory. We've only seen, Lord God, about your redemption. And with that, Lord God, we thank you. But also, Lord God, we recognize that you are the glorious divine, the Son of God. And as we look forward for this message, Lord God, we pray that we will all the more be set, Lord God, in awe as we understand, Lord God, who you are, not only as the crucified Christ, but also as the glorified Son of God. Thank you. I pray, Father, for your blessing to each one of us. Thank you also, Lord God, that you will use even as we give of our tithes and offering. Lord, we live by grace, Lord God, and we also give by grace. Thank you, Lord God, that you know our need. And more than, Lord God, looking at our own need, Lord, Father, thank you for reminding us that you are indeed our ultimate treasure, our most highly treasured possession, Lord God. Thank you. And we just give back, Lord God, something, Lord God, that will honor and glorify your name. Salamat po, Panginoon. Ingatan niyo po kami. Salamat po sa mensahe po na ito sa pangalan ni Jesus. Amen. Amen. Salamat po. God bless you po.